We wanted to kind of give you a middle of the week feel of waiting to see what the cap was going to be. And I want to start there, Jason, by the way. The cap numbers came out today. We knew it would be an increase. How much does this help some of the teams that we're going to be talking about, some of the guys that they may be pursuing?
I think it's negligible. The most committed owners, the most committed front offices find ways to make things work. And the people who want to hide behind the salary cap as a means not to spend what it'll probably require or commit what will probably be committed, need to be committed to be better, you know, can hide behind that. And I'm not saying that free agency is the answer, and this free agency class doesn't frankly do a whole lot for me. And every year I feel like it does less and less for me, but that doesn't mean these same teams couldn't have done some things to extend their own players, to have been more forthright about how they spent their money previously, to put them in better positions now. But no, I mean, they always have a range of expectations, and the number ends up falling almost always within that range. And I think the salary cap is the most overly ballyhooed, most, you know, Darth Vader thing in the world. Like they want you to fear it. They want you, they want to be able to use it to lower your expectations and temper, your demands for them, but it's completely malleable. You may eventually run into a situation like the Saints where you come up against it, but it took a freaking decade.
Right.
I mean, they started spending, you know, a couple years before they won their Super Bowl. It's been a long time since they won their Super Bowl. And all I know is every year people are like, oh, the Saints are going to have to gut the roster. Oh, the Saints are in salary cap hell. And, you know,
nothing hadn't
really happened at this point. And you know, it's going to happen now, but I mean, pretty good run.
I agree. I always say, just to, you know, briefly about the salary cap, there's not a team that doesn't do what they want to do because of it.
Right.
They keep the players they want to keep. They let go of the guys they want to let go. And ultimately, it all works out. We roll around every year to the fall and we go, we'll talk about some, not us, but there will be people who talk about the salary cap all offseason and it doesn't mean shit. No. Like, we'll roll around to the season and the teams will have exactly who they want. They will have paid who they want. And the season rolls on. And so the salary cap has never stopped the team from, they spent too much or they didn't spend enough and we can't play this fall. So I agree with you. I think it's completely overrated. I don't spend a lot of time talking about it because I think it's one of these things that, again, I'm not a capologist, nor do I, you know, try to be. But I also think that every time you look at any team that's competitive, the salary cap has never come into play for those teams that, as you said, are committed. Let's talk about a couple of these guys as we talk about the free agent primer. Aaron Rodgers. Look, you faded this dude all season. You talked about what the Jets were not and what they weren't going to be, and then we saw the debacle of them firing their coach and the OC and blah, blah, blah. And now they have a new coach and a new general manager. But where the hell is Aaron Rodgers going to end up? And is this going to end good or bad?
Well, I mean, his best days are well behind him. He was already a declining, diminished player when Green Bay finally parted with him. And he's now had, you know, one catastrophic injury since then and one catastrophic season, frankly. I don't know, Carl. I mean, he could be, you know, three or four different teams, fourth or fifth best option. But nobody's running out of the gate to do a deal with Aaron Rodgers. I think everything with Aaron Rodgers is going to be contingent on what else we could do with player X or player Y. And then, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be very realistic about his price point. But he's not a leader. He's not a Tom Brady who was fully committed, you know, 24/7, 365.
Well, it cost Brady his marriage, right?
Well, I mean, that's how committed he was. I mean, and this guy wants to go to Egypt and look at pyramids and sit in the jungle and snort whatever or smoke whatever. You know, like it is what it is. So there's that element of it. There's the sideshow circus because his ego and his, you know, quasi philosophical persona is more important to him than anything else. So he wants to have the avenues to express that stuff. I don't think guys are gravitating towards him at all in the locker room anymore. So, and he's, again, he's a diminished player. So I look, there's at least one idiot in every village. So he's got to find the, you know, the right billionaire idiot. There's probably is someone out there for him at the right price. Maybe it's Mark Davis. Maybe somebody gets hurt in OTAs and a team gets really desperate. He might have to sit for a while. It'll be fascinating, but I mean, people are much more interested in Matt Stafford or Sam Darnold or Kirk Cousins or, yes, you know, even Russ Wilson, definitely Justin Fields. There's not that those options are great. Some of them better than others, but he's, for most people, less than that.
I'm just happy that the Jets actually made a good decision. Sure. Like Aaron Glenn didn't come in and go, you know what? This is good.
We're going to put Humpty Dumpty back together.
Yeah. We're going to roll with him. And to me, that's even the bigger statement, as we've talked about the dysfunction with the Jets, is that the head coach and the GM convinced the owner that this was not the route to go. As we talk about potential things that are going to play out, guys, how does the Cincinnati Bengals keep T. Higgins, Trey Hendrickson, and pay Jamar Chase, who's going to become the highest paid wide receiver in the league? How?
I don't think they do. And there's two teams right now that are sending signals one way about the tag, and I still am believing the opposite until I see it. So you've got the Bengals now, who all of a sudden, the day before the tag window opens up, you got multiple reporters saying, hey, they're ready to put the tag on T. Higgins. I mean, are they really? Like, are they really? Are they going to pay him that and then still give Jamar Chase his 38 or 39, whatever his number is going to be? And you got one guy at close to 30 and one guy at close to 40, and they might only be together for a year.
Right.
You might be squatting on them for a year, and you're going to give T. Higgins 50 million plus for whatever for 2 years, and he still has a chance to walk because there's no guarantees he signs anything by July. I just don't think they're going to be willing to do that at the end of the day. I think it's a scare tactic. I think they want to get him to do a deal during this window. But if they don't, I'm not fully committed that they do that. And then you've got the Vikings, who, you know, have kind of intimated they're not going to put anything on Darnold. But every time I talk to a quarterback needy general manager, he's like, I really don't think we're going to get a chance at Sam Darnold. Like, our chance at Sam Darnold might be trying to sign him to an offer sheet on a transition tag or a non-exclusive franchise tag. Like, they're really going to let him just go out into the marketplace and take a comp pick for him in 2 years, you know, a year from now. Like, they don't think the Vikings are going to end up doing that. Maybe they do. But it would seem to be a little short-sighted, especially with so many questions about J.J. McCarthy. A lot of smart people in this league on the agent side and the GM side are like, why don't you just transition them and see what happens?
Right.
And you might get them cheaper if nobody wades out there. And if somebody does wade out there, you've got the ability to match that offer sheet or work out a trade. Why would you just let him go unencumbered into this marketplace with it as bleak as it is at the quarterback spot and with their, you know, a quarter of the league that needs quarterbacks? And there's going to be three that go in the first round and they're all going to have questions. So, the last, you know, what I guess 13 days from now to be pretty interesting, because I don't think anybody else is getting tagged. And I think these are the two most interesting situations. And I suspect they go down to the end.